Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade channel of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. I can also be found easily on Twitter at @Brother_Andre and on Facebook. Our topic this evening is On the Church Militant. I'll explain that a little bit. My guest is Mr. Ryan Grant, the managing editor of Mediatrix Press, a professional Latinist and a scholar who's translated numerous works of St. Robert Bellarmine into English, including the book entitled On the Church Militant. Before we get to Ryan and start digging into the book that he so laboriously translated from Latin, I thought I'd give a couple of introductory comments about St. Robert Bellarmine, a couple of reminders. But first, I want to do a couple of quick, very quick commercials. Please consider coming to the St. Benedict Center conference this fall. The dates are September 30th and October 1st. It's a Friday, Saturday. And details can be found out on Catholicism.org, our website. Just go there and search for 2016 conference, and you'll see a write-up of it. Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network, is going to be a speaker at the conference, as will Gary Potter, Joe Doyle, and some other speakers are being lined up now. It'll be a two-day event, and it promises to be very informative, and it will also provide good Catholic friendship and fellowship. And there'll be wine, too, so it often helps the discussions. And also, please consider signing up for the Ad Rem mailing list. It's an email list that I maintain. You can sign up for it on Catholicism.org. And also, you can consider going to reconquest.net and sign up to get automatic notifications every time I put up a new posting on that site, which is once a week or twice a week max. It'll tell you about the details of the next show, just in case you want to keep informed so that you know to listen. Now, we're going to talk about St. Robert Bellarmine and his great work on the Church Militant, which my guest Ryan Grant has translated. St. Robert Bellarmine, again, quick review. He was born October 4th, 1542, in Montepulciano, Tuscany, Italy. And he died September 17th in 1621 in Rome. He's a major figure of the Catholic Reformation, or also the Counter-Reformation, two different names for the same thing under two different formalities. St. Robert Bellarmine was canonized by Pope Pius XI only in 1930, which is very late, and there are reasons for that because he was so controversial to certain people. He was declared a Doctor of the Universal Church the next year in 1931, and he is the patron saint of catechists. So joining me now via Skype is Ryan Grant. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
Good evening, brother. I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks for joining us. So why don't we just sort of dig into the book here, and is there anything that you'd like to say about it just by way of introduction, general introduction to the book, before we go to page one?
Right. Certainly. The work, it's in the next section, so some listeners might be familiar with my work on St. Robert Bellarmine on the Roman Pontiff, which is a very massive book. And if you have the one volume, it's about 650 pages. The next treatise that follows that is on the church. And there are two books that precede this one. One is on councils, the other is on the authority of councils. And then there's this work, The Church Militant, and then the next one is on the marks of the church, where the in Latin it's on the notes of the church, the notae ecclesiarum, and that's notae ecclesiae, and that's the things by which the church is known. That's been I translated that about a year or more ago, and that's available from my website or on Amazon. So the purpose of this work, so this kind of becomes like a blueprint work, where, you know, he started off in the controversy. The very first controversy is on Christology, on Christ. The next one is on sacred scripture, then on the Roman Pontiff. And now we're proceeding down kind of into the church. So you have Christ, the head of everything. And then you have scripture, right, the primary revelation that's been given about him and why it's not a judge of controversies. So then who is the judge of controversies? The Roman Pontiff. And what, you know, what body was constituted under the Roman pontiff, and that's the universal church. So that's why, and so this sets up the discussion then to move to another work, which I may have out later in the year, it might be early next year, which is on the, specifically on the members of the church militant, where he deals with monks, clergy, and laity. The section on laity, De Laicis, actually is in translation from, I think, the Liberty Fund. It's also very readable, very good translation.
Okay, so by the way, your website, you mentioned your website where people can get this book. It's mediatrixpress.com, right, Ryan?
Right, that's correct.
So all of these books that you've translated from St. Robert Bellarmine are available at that site.
They're there. If you click on the Bellarmine translation tab, it's there. There's a page for On the Roman Pontiff where you get everything that's just on that work. And then, of course, the All Titles A to Z, I have those divided, All Titles A to Z paperback, hardcover, and ebook. And so everything is listed there, although I do have to update the ebooks. There's some that I haven't updated to reflect. But anyway, so in the All Titles paperback, you'll find all my translations. They're not all in hardback because they have to be a certain size for my publisher or my printer to handle the hardbacks. And then I'm actually looking for someone that could do print on demand for hardbacks. That way I don't have to cough up, you know, $5,000 to get a bunch of books all up front. So anyway. But you can get all of those on the website, including this book on the Church Militant, and it's also available on Kindle.
Oh, okay. So they can then they can purchase even the real book. They can purchase on Amazon if they're so inclined, right?
That's right. In fact, if you go to Amazon and you type in Mediatrix Press, you will get all of my books plus a handful of other listings that have Mediatrix somewhere in the title that aren't mine.
Okay.
but anyway, there's like some $80 books, some prof on Women in the Middle Ages, I think. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what the book's about, but I just all I know is I didn't write it.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about the term church. That's where St. Robert Bellarmine starts this volume. So church in Latin, it's the ecclesia, and it's the same thing in Greek, right? From ekaleo, the verb for to call.
That's what that's how Bellarmine identifies, and that's how traditionally it's treated on by theologians. So the Greek name is ekaleo, and it's a verb. It means I call out, and then ekklesia is a participle out of that, from which so it means call out. So oftentimes in the Old Testament, it's especially modern Bibles, it's translated as the assembly. And in theology of this period in which Bellarmine's writing, it's traditional to actually call the Old Testament assembly the church. So it's the church that's still hidden, more or less, and whereas the New Testament church is the church revealed.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, using St. Augustine's phrase, the Old Testament is the new concealed, the new is the old revealed.
Okay.
So the church is the body of those that are called out by God. So that's the Greek term that's used. Now, Bellarmine also gives here in this book, on page 4, the Hebrew. And by the way, I don't know Hebrew. I had to go to someone who's advanced in Hebrew to track all the words down and render them for me so that I could print them. But so the Hebrew word is also the root for synagogue as well as church. So it's the Hebrew edda, which means congregation. And the Septuagint translates that into synagogue. And that's said to be ya'ad, to gather, right? That's the root verb for edda, congregation, is ya'ad. And then you have ka'al, which is also translated as the church, but it comes from ka'le, which is to gather. There's like a subtle difference between those two. They're spelled exactly the same. At least, again, that's how it was explained to me. I just had to put it at the front there. I don't actually know Hebrew myself.
Okay, so there's he distinguishes that the word for the church in the New Testament shows its superiority to this congregation of the Old Testament, right?
That's right. And the two names basically mean the same thing, but it's what they are that are there to do. And throughout the book, the difference between the two, when answering different objections, the difference between the church in the Old Testament and the New is delved into very heavily because of the fact that oftentimes, even though the Protestants somewhat maintain the principle of suppressionism, that is, that the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New and therefore ceases to you know, exist as its own body anymore. It exists now as the church. So even though Protestants loosely held to that idea, at the same time, there is a tendency to equate the Old and the New Testament as if they were on the same ground. So examples in the Old Testament will then become the absolute, you know, proof to trump how, say, the New Testament is interpreted for the Protestants. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Spellerman will keep making the distinction between the Old Testament church, the synagogue, or prior to that, the temple, you know, and the New Testament church, which is, you know, he'll give the definition of the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. And he says to be gathered in common is common among both men and beasts, but to be called out is proper to men. So to be called out is something superior. So that shows the superiority of the church over the synagogue, right?
That's right. I mean, there's a certain sense in which the synagogue is called out too. It's called out from amongst the nations awash in idolatry that don't know the true God, and that are going this way and that. But this is the body that God has called out to Himself. So He's called out from this mass of men. Now the New Testament is the body that's been called out to be with God as adopted sons in Christ, which is something. So we're all adopted. That's something that the Jews never had, even no matter how good they could be, until the time in which Christ would come. And then those who were justified in the Old Testament were then saved at the coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or sorry, actually, at the rising of Christ, I should say.
Yeah, at the ascension. So then we move on from the definition of church, or rather from the meaning of the word, the etymology of it and its literal meaning etymologically, to what the definition is of the church. And there would have been a lot of false definitions of the church floating around in these days. So St. Robert Bellarmine is very careful to give a tripartite definition of the church that's encompasses every aspect of Catholicity. So how does that definition go?
To boil it down, it's in chapter 2. He basically lays it out that the church is the body of men who are united by the same profession of faith, as well as the communion of the sacraments united to their head. So he says directly, the Catholic teaching is that the church is only one, not two, in that the body of men of the same Christian profession and of the same sacraments gathered in communion in one is one and true under the rule of legitimate pastors, and especially of the one vicar of Christ on earth, the Roman Pontiff. From such a definition, it can be clearly understood what men pertain to the church and which ones do not. For there are three parts of this definition: the profession of the true faith, and then the communion of the sacraments, and lastly, subjection to the legitimate pastor, the Roman Pontiff. By the reasoning of the first, all unbelievers, all infidels, and those who have never entered the church are excluded, such as Jews, Turks, and pagans. Then, those who were in the church but left, such as heretics and apostates. By reasoning of the second part, all catechumens and excommunicates are excluded, because they have not been admitted to the communion of the sacraments. These are sent out. By reasoning of the third, all schismatics are excluded, that is, those who have the faith and the sacraments, but are not under the legitimate pastor, and therefore profess the faith and receive the sacraments outside of the church. Still, all others, even the base, wicked, and impious, are included. And that's what a good portion of the rest of the book deals with, of course, is he spends a lot of time on this question that the wicked are members of the church, that as long as exteriorly they, you know, persist in the profession of faith and the communion of the sacraments and are at least visibly united to their head. So it serves as a sort of blueprint to determine, you know, who makes up the church. That way you know, well, this is a heretical sect we shouldn't have anything to do with because they're outside the church because they're not under the one head, or this one doesn't have the sacraments. And they have some profession of faith, but it's not our profession of faith, you know, so they're heretics, right? And so you all, on all those three counts, if you don't have all three, you can't be a member of the church.
And when he says Turks, obviously he's not talking about a nationality. Right. He's talking about Muslims.
Right. Turk, in Bellarmine's time, the word Turk, ever since the fall of Constantinople in 1453, the word Turk becomes synonymous with what used to be Saracen. And that was Saracen was the word, Saraceni in Latin. That was the word for Muslim. And then sometimes you see Musulmani, and sometimes you see Islamismi, and sometimes you see those, but there's very rare, rare times. Like there's certain, like the Jesuit Sinieri took a lot of time preaching to Muslims, and he learned Arabic, and he actually wrote a whole treatise quoting the Quran in Arabic, then provided a Latin translation, and then a critique and refutation of the Quran in Latin. And actually, you can find that in Google Books if your Latin's good enough to read works of this sort. And so he'll actually use Musulmani.
Which is closer to the Arabic, Muslimin. They call themselves Muslimin.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So this, as you point out, he gives a definition, and it's basically three parts. Just to summarize it very quickly, is the assembly of those who share the same profession of the same faith, and the word profession is very important. The profession
right.
of the
so
same it, faith.
So at the very least publicly, they profess to have the same faith. So that profession can encompass both secret heretics, those who inwardly reject the faith, but publicly, for whatever reason of social status or because they don't want to make that jump yet, or they fear some positive law, like in a traditional medieval society where you could be put before, you know, church authorities. So you're not going to say it, but inwardly you believe it, right? You know, so that's where you, you're still visibly anyway in the church, although without the virtue of faith. Later on, Bellarmine will talk about this. You're like a dead member. You're like if you take the analogy of the body, you're like the hair, the nails and things of this sort that are in the body, but they're not actually living. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, so that's a dead member, but they're still visibly a member. So that they're, but you know, it also, there's another distinction we'll talk about in a little bit, the soul of the church versus the body of the church. And the soul of the church will refer basically to the predestined. When we get down to it, that is, God foreknows that these men will be saved. And actually, we'll talk a little bit about Catholic predestination. He goes into it a little bit in this book, but not very much. He has a whole book on it. It's the third volume of the Controversies on Grace, Free Will, Predestination, and also on indulgences. Got tacked on there. Indulgences were originally part of the penance track and sacraments, but he couldn't get it to the printers in time, and that sacraments book is already big enough. So it ended up being its own work and then got attached to the third volume. So just if anyone's wondering about that.
So he tackles the question of predestination, but not in this book.
He does it in just a little bit, not so much as to refute the Protestant teaching, but simply to identify what the Catholic teaching is for the purposes of knowing how it relates to ecclesiology.
So we're coming up on a break, Ryan, but just to reiterate on that definition of the church, the three parts would include profession of the same faith, the unity of the same governments being subject to the authority of the church, the bishops, and principally the pope, they're the head of all the bishops, and then lastly, the communion of the same sacraments. Right?
That's
those
right.
Are the, okay. You're listening to...
Those are the three.
Okay. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Channel of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.